This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If your internet connection has seemed especially slow this week, Netflix streaming a bit sluggish perhaps, or email acting up, it could be because of a cyber spat that's broken out between two companies you have likely never, ever heard of. Spamhaus is a nonprofit that's become a go-to source for people looking to rid the world of spam. They have blacklisted a Dutch web company called Cyberbunker. Cyberbunker boasts it's going to let anyone, terrorists and child pornographers excluded, so almost anyone, use its servers to do almost anything they want, spam very much included. Anyway, the upshot is that Cyberbunker has decided to fight back against the blacklisting by attacking the very architecture of the internet itself. John Markoff wrote about the fight in the New York Times today. John, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
These two groups, the Spamhaus and the Cyberbunker group, I mean, who are they? Are they companies? Are they loose affiliations?
Well, Spamhaus is a regular nonprofit, and they send out this regular, very large list of known spammers. And it's used widely in the internet community as an aid to blocking spam and other kinds of malware. The Spamhaus blacklist might touch as many as 2 billion internet users who use email.
Wow.
Then it gets kind of murky. I found an individual who said he was associated with Cyberbunker and that he wasn't actually doing the attacks, but he knew the attackers.
So we don't really know who's doing what.
That's right.
As with so much in cybersecurity and cyber warfare.
On the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. It's still true.
That's right. This is, as you say in your piece in the paper today, a squabble between two groups that has become the biggest spam slash denial of service attack in the internet ever.
That's right. This type of attack, which is referred to as distributed denial of service attack, has really been around on the internet for years and years and years. This one was really quite remarkable. They reached data flows. That means bits coming from all over the internet being directed at a very, in this case, an individual target of 300 billion bits a second, which is just a huge amount of data. Even the backbone, those are the internet service companies, they barely have that kind of carrying capacity.
Could anybody do this? I mean, if I wanted to fire up a computer and, you know, link up with Cyberbunker, could I do that?
Definitely. DDoS attacks are not magic. There are lots of instruction manuals on the internet that would allow you as an individual with a computer, a home computer, to do this. So that's one of the problems.
Why is this happening? I mean, are they just doing it because they can?
Well, I mean, the specific why is this group is unhappy with the fact they were blocked by Spamhaus. The broader issue about DDoS is that it's an artifact of both the great strengths and the great weaknesses of the internet. It's a relatively open environment. And in this case, there are two particular problems. One of them is that a lot of the big internet providers have not made a simple change that would make it much more difficult to do this. If you simply filtered the packets that left the big internet providers, and if they checked to say, does this packet really come from me?
Yeah.
Then it would make it much harder to do these DDoS attacks.
With all respect, I'm sure you're a smart enough guy, but you can't be the smartest guy in the room who's ever thought of this. Why aren't the companies doing it? Why aren't those big providers doing this?
There are some complex issues here. Like in some cases, the bits don't come from the big internet provider's own users. They transit through, and that makes it a little bit more difficult to do the configuration and engineering. But I think the real case is just laziness.
Is there a way to know how many people might have been affected by this whole thing?
You know, I asked that question yesterday, and one of the security companies said that clearly millions of people might have been affected, but would you have noticed it? I mean, how many days do you find that your internet connection is slower than it was yesterday? I mean, it happens all the time, and figuring out who's to blame is extremely difficult.
John Markoff, he's a senior writer in the science section at the New York Times. John, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.